From the heart of the regional capital comes the voice of Volta Star Radio, 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 Radio.
Well, you're tuning to All Time Great FM Station 91.95.5, 97.7. That's Volta Star Radio live. Check out the time. It's about some 28 minutes. We're hitting the hour 5 this evening. Well, it's a pleasure and a privilege to come to this evening with a very important a subject area that I know will interest both parents, guardians, as well as students themselves. What am I talking about? Some time back, we used to have this student loan scheme that was operated by SNAT. Those of you who have gone through the tertiary education, you know what I'm talking about, really. And parents who have had their kids going through, same knows it. But I've been told that there have been some kind of shift. Now, the scheme, that's the student loan scheme that was operated by SNAT, has changed into another form. But that does not mean the loan has stopped. The loan is still there. Don't get worried. Well, this time it's known as the Student Loan Trust Fund. That's SLTF. And what is it all about? We are here to learn all about this. And I can tell you, those who matter most in this area are with me in the studio, well seated. And it's the pleasure to welcome to the microphones the Acting Chief Executive Officer, the CEO, the person, Mrs. Sheila Nabwama. She's with me in the studio. And she's going to be supported by the loan disbursement manager, Madam Rosemary Ayi. But don't forget, they are supported by public relations officer as well as zonal officers. They are all with me in the studio to give us company. Well, Madam and Sheila and Madam Rosemary, good evening and welcome to Volta Region. I suppose this is the first time you're coming here.
To the station, yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me start with you, CEO. What necessitated the change from the SNET operation of the scheme to the SLTF?
Several factors could have accounted for that. Most importantly is the fact that government wanted SNET to concentrate on pensions, and also because the student population was increasing, so there was need to give it special attention in terms of the activities that were required to disburse on time. So those were some of the reasons why Student Loan Trust Fund was established in 2005.
Mm-hmm. And since 2005, how has things been like? Have we seen some remarkable changes?
Yes, very, 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 very impressive reforms and changes have taken place. And I am sure that students within the tertiary enclave will attest to that. Mm-hmm. They have experienced some improvements in loan disbursements, in loan application processes, and in the general ways in which we attend to their needs. Mm-hmm. That is one of the reasons why we are in the region today, to attend to the numerous tertiary institutions within the Volta region.
Mm-hmm. And I learned you're going to be up to the 24th.
Yes.
And once you've brought it up, let me ask quickly. So you're going to visit some of the institutions. Have you earmarked some of the areas? So basically, we're going to go through, because we have the training colleges, we have the nurses training, we have the polytechnic. You have identified some key areas you'll be visiting, madam.
In fact, our mission this week takes us to all the tertiary institutions. No, let me restate that. Our mission this week takes us to all the colleges of education within our ambit, mm-hmm. and the tertiary institutions we cater for. Mm. So we have been to Dambai Training College, we've been to Jessica Training College, we've been to Pecky College of Education, we've been to St. Francis College of Education, we've been to St. Teresa's College of Education. So we are covering, we are doing Akache College of Education tomorrow. And we would also be meeting Hope Polytechnic, the student bodies of Hope Polytechnic tomorrow. So we are catering for the needs of all the tertiary and colleges of education within the Volta region this week.
Maybe that's explaining why maybe the SLTF has been put under the Ministry of Education. Perhaps that explains it.
Yes.
Okay. Well, if I should ask, I don't know whether Ms. Sheila will help me a little bit. Ms. Rosemond will help me a little bit in this direction. You have set up objectives, because once there's a shift, objectives are definitely going to change. Or apart from the normal procedure we go to, a shift, has it brought any changes in how to apply for the procedures we have to go to? Has a change brought any significant process change?
Definitely. There has been significant reforms that has been introduced by the Student Loan Trust Fund. And in fact, we want to take this opportunity to announce some of the changes, the reforms that has been introduced. First of all, the Student Loan Trust Fund has introduced one guarantor instead of three. In the past, you need to have three guarantors to guarantee for a loan. Today, you need just one SNET contributor guarantor. Again, the Student Loan Trust Fund has broadened the guarantor base to include MMDAs, corporate organizations, religious organizations, in addition to SNET contributors. Mm-hmm. All of these are our attempts to make the loan easily accessible for students. Another reform that has been introduced is that parents are able to guarantee for all their children, irrespective of the number. If a parent is a SNET contributor, the parent can guarantee for all the children that they have.
That's the biological children, for sure.
Biological children. Mm-hmm. Yet another reform is that we disburse our loans on e-switch cards. We find this to be a very convenient, instant mode of transferring money. Students are easily able to access their funds, and then, you know, they're happy and we are happy. These are some of the reforms that we have introduced, and it has made significant improvement in the loan access to students.
Mm-hmm. And can you comment about the repayment, schedule? Has this also changed? Because I used to know that maybe perhaps when you start, work, then they start deducting from your salary or wages as you work, and slowly, you win off. Has that brought any change in the repayment mode as well?
Before she continues, I would just want to add a few more reforms that have taken place to increase accessibility to the loan. Mm-hmm. One is the fact that before, they used to require a 5-year minimum working contribution for SNET contributors. They used to require people who have worked for a minimum of 5 years to guarantee for them. Now we have people who have worked for 3 years minimum who can serve as guarantors. Mm. Secondly, in my days, the loan was a flat amount. Irrespective of your background, you took the same amount. But these days, there is a methodology incorporated in the application process that tailors the amount to different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So no two people will get the same amount. If you are from a more vulnerable group, you are likely to get more than a better placed student. So those are some of the other very good reforms that have taken place.
Yes, Mrs. Bama, how do you identify who is, the vulnerable and who is a little bit well-placed? Do you have some criteria?
Yes, there is a means testing tool incorporated in the application process. Mm-hmm. So once you start answering the questions, we start gathering data about you, your background. That data is weighed and is scored. In the end, the summation is done and the amount is assigned to the person depending on the kind of information we gather about the individual.
Mm. So it means when you apply, we will come to the mode of application, but when you apply, it means you go through some sort of interviewing so that you can assess the person's, okay, that's good news for us. Okay. Well, now we also know that there's some kind of, this under the SLTF, there's some sort of a protection. What sort of protection is that?
Yes, the protection is a relief to guarantors. Mm-hmm. In the past, this protection was not there. What it seeks to do is to protect guarantors in the unlikely event that the student's beneficiary would pass away or become permanently incapacitated. Mm-hmm. So should that happen, the guarantor would not be held liable for the sum disbursed.
Okay.
The scheme would take care of amounts disbursed to the person.
Mm. And did I also get it right that maybe, like those days, it's like you take the money on some, this and that. I think you varied it a little bit. Before the semester starts or something like that, that's when you take the money. But is it like something like it's going to be continual?
The disbursement of the funds is dependent on both the factors that trigger disbursement is dependent on some factors. And it includes the school authorities and the trust fund. Even though you apply once, we do not automatically start, we do not continue paying you after you've assessed it the first time. We require the institutions to, after every academic year, update us with the school list, something we call the school list. That is a list of students on their calendar.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that we are paying people who are still in school, who exist on their premises. So until we have received that list from the schools, we are not able to disperse. But once we receive that list, all things being equal, we are able to disperse in less than 2 weeks.
Okay. Then the question people, my listeners, will be asking themselves, then who qualifies to apply? Now, we know who the guarantor can be, the MMDS, whatever it is. I mean, biological fathers or parents. But then who qualifies to apply in the first place? Someone may be thinking, maybe because I come from a particular village, so maybe access to the SNET office would not be a problem. So this time, with the change, who qualifies to apply and where do they apply? I will come to the application mode, but we want to know. I mean, because this time, are we going to SNET still, or you have your own offices that will cater for the eligible applicants?
I will talk about who qualifies to apply, and she will talk about what criteria you must fulfill to qualify.
Okay.
Who qualifies to apply? It's one, you must be Ghanaian. Two, you must be in a tertiary institution that is accredited. Three, you must be undertaking a program that is accredited by the National Accreditation Board. And four, you must be studying on a full-time, part-time basis or distance learning.
Mm.
So those are the four simple qualification requirements.
Okay. So even if you are doing, not full-time, but part-time, those who go for the weekend classes, they will still qualify.
Yes, okay. Once their program is accredited.
Okay.
In an accredited institution.
Okay. So you need two accreditations. The institution must be accredited.
Yes.
And the course you are running to must also be accredited.
Yes.
That's very interesting. Okay, now we know who can apply. Then, Ms. Shelley, can you help me?
It's Rosemary.
Yes. Yes. What's the procedure? Is it a little bit cumbersome with the e-switch and all those coming in, the online things? Will it be very cumbersome? It's very simple.
In fact, we believe that it's a simple process.
Mm.
ICT has come to stay, and we are raising children in a world of ICT. And so we expect all our kids to be quite, fluent with the use of the internet and the computers. And so, yes, we offer online application, but I must be quick to say that we also offer paper application.
Mm-hmm.
To make it simpler, much simpler for anybody who is still a little afraid of PCs, you can still use the paper applications. Now, what we need is that to apply for the loan, you need to have one guarantor, you need to have an e-switch account, you need to have an email, because we are going to communicate with you via email.
Mm-hmm.
We need you to have a telephone number that is active, that is yours, because we will be reaching out to you on the telephone number. Once we disburse loans, we send you a text message, and the text message will let you know that your loan has been disbursed. You walk to any e-switch office, and then you load your funds, you cash your money, and you are happy, and so are we.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what other things do we need to go through the application process? Because those are, going with passport pictures and all those things. But these days, once we're talking about this ICT, modus, do we still going to go by those passport pictures and those little things? Can we go a little bit into that one?
In fact, you still need some identification, and so we need you to bring photographs. If you're using online, then you upload your photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're using a paper application, then you attach the photographs to it.
But
the application process, it requires you some of the details, some of the things we are needing you to do is, for instance, we take fingerprints of students and we take thumbprints of guarantors. And these are done at any SNET office that is close to students for convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you will need to fill the online application. At the end of it, you print a summary, and that summary will contain the guarantor requirement information that students are required to send to any SNET office that is close by to have their fingerprints taken and that of their guarantors also taken.
Mm-hmm.
These are some of the things you will need.
Yes, but I understand you say you are supposed to provide two sets of application forms. Why that?
That is correct. We need two sets of application because the thumbprint verification is going to be done by one set of the application. So for contingency, we hold on to one set whilst we send the other set on for validation of the thumbprints.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I was asking this question earlier on that, and now you brought it up again that the fingerprints and all those are going to be taken at SNET offices. Earlier on, I was trying to probe to find out if we're still going to deal somehow with SNET, or basically the SLTF has got its own offices and the location so that we get our minds clear that maybe we are deviating a little bit from the SNET, but we still have some dealings with them. That's what I was interested in knowing, whether you have your own offices at SLTF.
In fact, we have our offices all over the country. Mm-hmm. We have 13 zonal offices across the country. So in every region, we have a presence. We also have campus offices in every tertiary institution that we give loans to. These serve as a first port of call for students to come to with any issues that they have and any concerns that they need addressed. But when it comes to taking of fingerprints, because SNET is one of the old institutions that take fingerprints, we share some data with them. Mm-hmm. And that is the reason why we need the fingerprints to be taken under their supervision.
Okay.
But it still does not change the fact that the Student Loan Trust Fund is autonomous and independent of SNET. We mm-hmm. have some relationship as far as fingerprints taking are concerned.
So assuming we have an office at a particular like Hope Poly campus, so you need, apart from fingerprints, everything will be done at Hope Poly campus where you have an office.
That's correct. Everything will be done at Hope Poly office. Your form will be vetted at Hope Poly office. Your disbursement queries will be answered at Hope Poly office. Mm. Sometimes if it flies over to head office, yes, we will address it. But every other thing apart from those two,
your fingerprints,
yes, will be done in our offices.
Well, those days when we were at school, we were scared of taking the loans because they told us that the payment, so many, many funny stories that maybe the interest rate was high, whatever it is. So some of us were scared in taking it, but eventually it was a necessary evil. With this new SLTF, do you have some advantages or benefits that maybe the applicants will enjoy, departing a little bit from the old system?
Certainly. Interest rates, you know, loans, every loan attracts an interest. And so you cannot run away from the fact that to sustain the fund and make the money, maintain the value of the money, you need to have some interest charge on it. The current market rate of interest is, you know, a minimum of 28%. But the student loan trust interest is so highly subsidized that we only charge 12% interest per annum. And even with the 12% interest, students negotiated with the board to peg it at 12%. And that any time interest performance is so good that it falls below 12, we are obliged to charge the lower of whichever rate pertains at any point in time. And so whatever happens, in fact, the student loan is the best that you can ever get in this country.
And so what are the other benefits that we can enjoy? I say we because I'm a parent. What are some of the other benefits that we can enjoy?
Yes.
In terms of this, the applicant and the guarantor.
Yes. You know, some of the benefits are that, you know, you need a little money to cushion and support your education. Mm. And so if you are a student or if you are a parent and you need some financial support, we are available to offer you the financial support. In fact, that is why we are here, to reach out to all parents who might not know that this is a facility that is available to every tertiary Ghanaian student in this country. There is a fund that is readily available to support parents to push their children with higher education. And, you know, we want all parents to come and, you know, access this fund for their children.
Okay. And let's ask, the disbursement, is it annually or maybe it's periodic? Or maybe it is on your issues, how much is loaded there, so that at any point in time you can go and cash you want. Or it is annual, I mean, disbursement?
In fact, we disburse annually, but we disburse in two tranches. And so we give you half of your loan amount in the first semester and give you the other half in the second semester. However, if we happen to be in the second semester and your disbursement, you were late in applying for the loan and so you missed the first semester, we combine both first and second semester loan amount and we give it to you. And so anybody who is listening to us now, because we are in the second semester, if you apply for the loan, you are going to get both your first and second semester loans all paid to you instantly. And we're promising our prospective students and borrowers that within 2 weeks maximum of submission of your application, where all your information is complete and we have your score list and every consistency has been observed with your data, in a matter of 2 weeks, we should be able to disburse your loan to you.
Is that an assurance?
Can I just add?
Oh, please come in.
That one of the other benefits of the loan is the fact that it also brings the student on board to contribute for their education.
Mm-hmm.
So that perception that I'm going to school for my parents would be reduced, because they are taking they are becoming accountable for a certain proportion of their financial needs.
Mm-hmm.
And so the myth about loans should not necessarily exist, because you are encouraging your kids to take responsibility and share in taking responsibility for their future. And I think that that is a very positive trait people can possess.
So once you apply and get it guaranteed for you, then means that your life is your own hands. You can help yourself. Even if your parents are poor, you can still go through the system. And then when you start working, you can repay. And that brings the question of the repayment. Has the mode of repayment also changed?
In fact, the mode of repayment, it's most encouraging. You have a 2-year grace period after your course,
mm-hmm.
to settle into a job or find a job. For people in the colleges of education, it's even better, because they come out into employment.
Straight into employment.
So they still have the 2 years to settle down and sort out their salary issues with controller and what have you. And after that, they can decide to pay in installments,
mm-hmm.
or they can decide to pay it off if the loan is of nuisance value.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we encourage that once you get a job, you should pay it off so that the fund is sustained and your siblings can come and also access it.
So you prefer paying it off. And if maybe the person, maybe after the 2 years, gets a job, lucky, and he has a money calculated, can I pay interest? Maybe, okay, if I might, the whole total value of plus interest is about 10 million. Can I say, okay, please, then let me pay off 5 million, give me another 1-2 years to relax, and I'll clear the other 5 million. Do you have such kind of conditions of arrangement?
You can do whatever you want. This is what we encourage people to do, to plan with us and pay it off as soon as possible. But when you are unable to do that, you have an additional, depending on when you finish school. If your course is 2 years, if it's 4 years, you have 2 years grace. That takes it to 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have another 4 years to pay your loan. So in all, you have 10 years to pay your mm-hmm. loan off. So that's mm-hmm. such a long time for any student.
That's quite exciting. I know some parents are now laughing, very, very much happy that the life is going to be better after all of the SLTF. But having said it, it sounds very beautiful and simple to me. If we follow the steps that we've given, I think it's easy to do. But nothing good comes easy. Do you have some challenges?
Yes, but before we talk about challenges, we would also want to talk about the banks and avenues where repayments can take place. So Rosemary would talk
okay.
about
okay.
Yes, we have close collaboration with a number of banks, particularly with NIB. NIB, Ecobank, and GCB. Anybody who wishes to pay off their loan can walk to any branch of these three banks and ask to pay off their student loan, or ask to pay a part of their student loan,
mm-hmm.
and they will be attended to. And so in addition to these banks, our zonal offices are also available to receive loan payments in checks, and our head office also accepts loan repayments in checks and in cash. And so we have made these modes, you know, very flexible and available, so that no matter where you find yourself in the country, you can walk into any of these branches and pay off your loan.
Yes, Madam Rosemary, let me get this clear. Does it mean that hitherto when your repayments were deducted from, your salary or your contribution, that of sort, does it mean this time around you go and cash the money yourself and go and pay? Or they're still, assuming I'm not with the three banks that you've mentioned, I'm with some like ADB or Barclays. Or how do I repay when I'm not with the three designated banks, and a different bank altogether? What happens then?
Let me explain that what we're doing is that we are deducting repayments at source
uh-huh.
with borrowers who are on government payroll. In addition to that arrangement, we have identified these three banks because of their branch network and a number of things. And so just as you walk into a shop and buy any product,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to have an account with any of these banks. You can just walk into any branch of NIB, any branch of Ecobank, any branch of GCB, and want to pay off your loan. Just as you walk into a bank and you want to buy a banker's draft,
mm-hmm.
so can you walk into any of these banks and decide that you want to pay off your loan. And they have a platform to receive your loan. We credit your statement And we have a portal where you can check your statements whenever. So you know when your repayments have been credited to your account and how your loan repayment is going.
Mm. Yes. You can easily trace how your repayment's being done so that you can follow.
That's correct. Okay.
Well, that's quite exciting. So apart from the deduction at source, yeah, there are other avenues that we can repay. Yeah.
Can I talk about the challenges?
Mrs. Bama, please come in.
Yes, because the challenge we face currently with people who have taken the loan and are not in formal employment. As she mentioned, we need employers to deduct from employees who have benefited from the loan at source. And normally, the most common feature these people have is the SNETS number.
Mm-hmm.
But when mostly with the informal sector, many of them do not register their employees with SNETS. And so when a beneficiary finds him or herself in some informal sectors, it's difficult to trace them. So we want to use this avenue to encourage employers across the country to find out from their employees if they have taken a student loan whilst they were pursuing their tertiary education, and if yes, to take the necessary steps to make our deduction, to make the deductions on our behalf.
And because I know before you assess, I mean, the loan, obviously you must have a SNET, I mean, number. So automatically, even if you're in informal sector, there's a mechanism that can be used to still, to retrieve the money because you have a SNET number. But let me ask quickly, with this kind of arrangement, will the deductions not affect maybe when you're going on retirement or something like that and your benefits? Will it have any telling on your benefits? Mrs. Boma.
Of who, the guarantor or the loan beneficiary?
Yes, just because maybe if the beneficiary is defaulting. And so how come? Does it affect, I mean, the guarantor if he's going on retirement?
Well, yes, it will not affect the guarantor because when you are going on retirement, we will prompt you and we would also contact whoever has used you as a guarantor to come and repay their loan. These are things that happen simultaneously. And so we would not have the situation where they are taking the guarantor's money to offset your loan. But I must add that the challenge I was mentioning was with respect to somebody in the timber market, for example, who has undertaken a tertiary, who has gone through a tertiary program and may have benefited from the loan. Those people are not formalized in terms of the way they are paid. And so if they are not captured in a formal system, then it's difficult to trace them. And that is why we are calling out to other people outside the formal sector to bring it to our attention.
Mm. Okay. Well, I think we said it all. I want to be very grateful. But Mrs. Bama, I won't let you go free. At least those days, nowadays, I say we're scared a little bit because we're afraid of what else we're being told. But now that you've cleared the air so much, what would be the words of encouragement you tell or give some kind of advice to parents, guardians, and our students ourselves that, please, this is a platform opportunity for you to, I mean, continue educating yourself till you die?
I think higher education, it's a very important tool. It's very important that as many people, as many Ghanaians as possible should aspire to acquire tertiary education. And we want to make it possible for that to happen. We want to reduce the possibility of funding becoming a reason why somebody is dropping out of higher education.
Okay.
And so parents are encouraged to take the facility to support their wards through this very important phase in life.
Okay. Well, Sister Rosemary, as for money, it is blood. So maybe if you can tell us, how reliable is the disbursement going to be so that they will rest assured?
Disbursement is really, really reliable. And we can assure parents that and the students that when you apply and all the information you provided is accurate and intact, within 2 weeks, you are able to disburse your loans to you. Like my CEO said, we desire to support students to acquire their tertiary education because we believe that the higher education that you have, the better your chances and the living condition. And so we are committed to supporting all Ghanaians who are eligible, and we're calling out to parents especially because we know that many parents are not aware of this facility being available. Mm. And so we're reaching out to parents to particularly, you know, get their students to access this facility. It is available. Don't miss out.
Thank you very much. But just in case maybe you still want some clarification after this program, we're just about wrapping up. Please, you can contact the following numbers for further clarifications, please. I'm going to go slow so that please you can take your time and write them down. Please, you can call this number 020-729-3263. That's the Loans Relationship Officer for the Volta and Eastern Region. Tertiary institutions, please take note. Your Loan Relationship Officer for both the Volta and Eastern, please call 020-7293-263. Then you can have all the explanations that you may so need. But if you are in Hoge or Hopoli, please, you can contact either Ms. Alex Dogba or Ms. Rebecca Fedo on these two numbers, okay? 027-1644-511. That's 027-1644-511. Or 024-382-7322. That's 024-382-7322. And you get in touch with Ms. Rebecca Afedo, and it will be of tremendous help to you. On that note, I want to be very grateful to my resource persons, the person of Mrs. Sheila Nabwama, who is the Acting Chief Executive Officer for the SNIT Student Loan Trust Fund, and also the Loans Disbursement Officer, Mrs. Rosemary Ayi. Madam and my gentleman who gave us support, PRO and the Senate officers, thanks so much for your education. We hope that it will go down well with us so that financial problems will not be a barrier to higher education. I'm so grateful. Thanks so much for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you, too.
Thank you.